With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Before 1983, the Chinese people were not permitted to travel in their own country.
The first time I was in China, they couldn't travel. You met people in Shanghai who had never been up the Yangtze, or people in Peking who had never been to Harbin.
That's writer Paul Theroux, who says that the Peking government now encourages travel. In his book, Riding the Iron Rooster, Theroux writes of his 1 year of crisscrossing China by train.
They don't want people wandering around the country, but people do. I did.
About a third of the time, Paul Theroux had an official escort, a Mr. Fang, who at first treated Paul like a schoolboy. Eventually, Theroux became fond of Mr. Fang.
I made a lot of friends in China, and even with sort of bureaucrats and officials that I hadn't expected to like very much.
While it is inexpensive to travel in China, the amenities are few.
Outside of the major cities, when you're in a hotel, you might easily think that you're in a prison, a madhouse, a hospital, or jail.
Paul Theroux gives us a rather dismal view of China.
Grungy, scruffy, dusty. People sweep, and so a place is very bare, very bald.
And dirty.
Kitchens are nightmares. Toilets are nightmares. Some of the sleeping arrangements are nightmares.
But Paul Theroux, a seasoned traveler, is fascinated by that giant nation and its people and expects to return. Riding the Iron Rooster by Paul Theroux is now an Ivy paperback. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Writer Paul Theroux found much of China rather grim.
Badness, bad conditions, grunginess is a gift to a travel writer. When everything goes well, there's nothing to write about.
Paul Theroux found plenty to write about in his book, Riding the Iron Rooster, the story of his 1 year traveling the breadth of China by rail. In China's far west, the rail line ended, and Paul Theroux decided to go on to Tibet by hiring a car and a driver, a Mr. Fu.
This man was an extremely bad driver, and he was driving much too fast. He turned the car over. It was terrifying because it was a flat, dry road, a nice sunny day, perfect conditions. And when you realize that I could have been killed, you know, in perfect conditions, I felt very resentful.
The car was fixed, and they continued on to Tibet with Theroux behind the wheel. Theroux says he cannot compare Tibet with any other country.
I thought it was an unearthly and beautiful place.
Theroux says he got to like the Chinese, despite their revolting spitting habit.
There are anti-spitting campaigns, but everyone spits, and it's not just spitting. I mean, there is a long wind-up before there's a pitch. So the noise, which I think of as the call of the East, that hoik, is probably the commonest sound in China.
Paul Theroux's conclusions about the Chinese.
I think the Chinese are knowable, scrutable, understandable people who can be very obvious, I mean, not subtle at all.
Riding the Iron Rooster by Paul Theroux is an illuminating look at everyday China and its people. Now an Ivy paperback with BookBeat. I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. John Irving's new novel, A Prayer for Owen Meany, is set in Gravesend, New Hampshire, a town very much like Irving's own birthplace of Exeter. It is 1953, and the novel's two main characters, Owen and Johnny, are 11 years old when Johnny's mother is accidentally killed. Here's Irving.
When Owen hits a foul ball at a little league game that kills Johnny's mother, in symbolic sympathy and sorrow for what he's done, Owen gives Johnny all his baseball cards.
Despite his mother's death, Johnny holds no grudge against Owen and loans him a prized possession, a stuffed armadillo.
Owen gives it back, but he amputates his claws before he gives it back, something that takes Johnny Wheelwright most of the book to understand.
John Irving says that Owen believes he is following a divine plan.
God has taken his hands being the instrument of his best friend's mother's death.
Irving makes a small parallel between the life of Owen Meany and the life of Christ.
There are no special claims that Owen Meany is a Christ figure. He's not a virgin birth, although in his early childhood he's told he is.
But John Irving says that Owen, like Christ, has the gift of precognition.
As a kid growing up, it always gave me the shivers, that part of the New Testament when Christ turns to his disciples and says, "This is what's going to happen to me, and you're going to be a part of it."
Owen foretells his own death, and the novel charts the way to that happening. John Irving's A Prayer for Owen Meany was published by William Morrow. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. The main character in John Irving's novel, A Prayer for Owen Meany, speaks in a strange, annoying voice, which is emphasized in the book in a special way. Here's Irving.
Owen's dialogue in the novel is always indicated by capital letters, and this is truly irritating, especially when the passages are longer than half a page. Not as irritating, in my view, as italics.
Owen never grows taller than 5 feet, and as a child, is forever being passed over the heads of his classmates.
I wanted to make him a miniature, just as I wanted his miracle to be, in comparison to the miracle of the New Testament, very small.
Owen's miracle is a vision during a school Christmas play in which he sees the date of his own death. While Owen Meany, with his tiny size and big voice, seems to be a ridiculous figure, Irving says that every prophet in his day seems to be ridiculous.
Is ridiculed in his time, mocked, if not killed.
And Christ was no exception.
This would be a very poor time in our history for a second Christ to come upon us. We wouldn't treat him any better than we treated him the first time.
John Irving says he is full of more doubt than belief.
I wouldn't ever describe myself as an atheist. I wouldn't comfortably describe myself as a believer either.
John Irving's fans will like A Prayer for Owen Meany, published by William Morrow. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.
If my novels persuade or convince you of anything, they do so emotionally. They make you laugh, they make you cry.
That's John Irving, author of 7 novels, including The World According to Garp. John Irving had learning problems as a kid.
I still have them.
Right? So do I.
My enemies would say they're probably most manifest.
Well, Irving no doubt had a learning disability. At the time, he was just thought to be slow.
I could read everything and understand everything that my peers could handle, but what they could do in 45 minutes seemed to take me 3 hours.
John Irving says he no longer has to move his lips when he reads, but still must follow each line with his finger. Irving's latest book, A Prayer for Owen Meany, is set in a town based on his birthplace, Exeter, New Hampshire. The private school in the book, Gravesend Academy, is clearly Phillips Exeter, where Irving's father was a teacher and Irving was a student. Irving says his novel is based on hindsight.
It is a novel, after all, set in the 50s and the 60s, and I think my view of that period of time is a lot sharper and clearer than it was when I was living in that period of time.
The novel is about two boys and the events leading to the death of one of them.
It's a childhood friendship in the 50s turning into the 60s, and as these two boys come of age, as they lose their innocence to age naturally, so, in my view, does the United States lose its innocence in the war in Vietnam.
John Irving, A Prayer for Owen Meany, was published by William Morrow. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Novelist John Irving, whose new book is A Prayer for Owen Meany, says he has an old-fashioned attachment to plot.
I know what happens before I begin the story. I begin with a sense of aftermath, almost, a sense of epilogue, even.
Irving's influences were the novelists of the 19th century, such as Dickens and Hardy. He believes that James Joyce was a terrible influence on the novel.
A novel like Ulysses, not to mention a mess like Finnegan's Wake, has encouraged so many less talented writers to think that a novel is any old thing. Call it fiction and slap a couple of covers around it.
These are the novels in which plot or character are surrendered to words and effect by authors often called postmodernist.
And the postmodernist. I'm talking about the postmodernist minimalists. I'm talking about all these 125-page novels written with wide margins and type large enough for the minimally blind. It goes like this. You go back to your parents' home, sleep in your childhood bed, have a dream about something abusive you almost said to your mother 30 years ago, decide to say it, but she's in the bathroom, so you go home.
That book won the Pulitzer.
John Irving's fans won't be disappointed with his novel of two boyhood friends of the 1950s, A Prayer for Owen Meany, published by Morrow. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.